But my point is, like, it's telemedicine. So it's about interacting through video conferencing with passionate, highly trained healthcare professionals, not like watching videos in an app or reading articles in an app. It's through video conferencing, like looking in your eyes with highly trained healthcare professionals who care about you, that you have an ongoing relationship with, to improve your health. And so that's what I think we need in the US healthcare system.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Digital Health Entrepreneurship Daily. Lawrence, you have a vision for Fruit Street Health to be more than just diabetes prevention program. You really want to see this be, like, I guess we've heard you say, kind of digital healthcare 2.0 or something like that. Tell us more about some of these ideas that you've been thinking through and working through with your team to really see the company innovate in more ways than just telemedicine.
I think the first version of telemedicine was basically talking to a doctor on the phone or then through video chat and then getting a prescription when you're sick. And that's not really what we're trying to build with Fruit Street. I mean, I think that what we're trying to build is more about having a, let's say, virtual primary care doctor that you have a very close relationship with. And then you have a care team built around that virtual primary care doctor, such as a dietitian, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, maybe a social worker for certain patients. And then maybe there's different programs. So there's a diabetes prevention program. There's a hypertension program. There's a program for patients with type 2 diabetes. There's a program for patients with, you know, depression. And it becomes something that's more about, like, taking someone from, you know, health status A to health status B on their own, you know, healthcare journey, as a benefits manager described it to me today. And so I think that at the end of the day, one of our advisors, Dr. David Katz, basically described that a lot of Americans and people in general are on what he calls the degenerative spiral. So I'm not going to say it as well as he would, but, you know, it's, you know, there's someone, you know, middle age that is, you know, obese, has high blood pressure, you know, their marriage isn't going well, so they have poor interpersonal relationships. You know, they have stress at their job that they don't know how to deal with well because nobody ever taught them those coping skills. Like, they're ordering fast food constantly and they never take time to cook. They're not exercising, right? And because of all of those things, they're not sleeping well. And their poor sleep, you know, leads to them not exercising, because everybody knows that, like, when you don't sleep well, the last thing you feel like doing is exercising, you know, and because you didn't sleep well, you're also more agitated, which then leads to you, you know, eating more bad foods that you shouldn't be eating, right? It's just like on and on and on. It's never one thing, right? When it rains, it pours kind of thing. So I think, like, I was talking to Dr. Katz about, like, how do you reverse that? Like, how do you fix that, right? And it's not just like, oh, you're just going to work with the dietitian and all of a sudden, like, you know, you're going to exercise more and eat less. Like, no, that's not what's going to happen, right? Because then you're going to get into a fight with, you know, your spouse, and then you're going to eat more, and then you're not going to sleep well because, you know, you had a fight with your spouse. I mean, I'm just giving a simple example, but I mean, the point is that what is, you know, primary care right now, it's when you go to these other telemedicine services, it's just like, oh, I'm sick and I need a prescription. And it's not really what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is more about, like, great, you have this set of, you know, behavioral, social, and health problems. And so how do we take you from, like, basically feeling kind of, like, you know, yucky, for lack of a better word, and, like, not liking your life too much, to, okay, great, now you've lost 40 pounds, you've gotten your blood pressure under control, you've worked with a psychologist or a marriage counselor to improve your marriage, you know, you are on, you know, taking your, or maybe you've come off your medications because of all these other things, you've gotten your stress under control, you know, maybe you needed a social worker to, you know, help you, maybe, I don't know, maybe some people might need to even find a job with the current economy. And so, like, somebody might have needed help, you know, finding a job, and they've got their finances back on track and that kind of thing. And now you have, I guess, a sense of vitality, if you will. So I think that a lot of Americans are just, like, generally frustrated with, you know, it's not like, I don't know, their health to a certain extent. And, like, people don't think about their doctor as, like, a pathway to wellness. They don't view it as a healthcare journey. It's like, okay, I'm sick and I need a prescription. And, like, I don't have a good relationship with my primary care doctor. I mean, do you guys have a good relationship with your primary care doctor?
No, I see doctors when I need to get fixed, kind of.
which is that's the problem.
Right. And so what if you had a good relationship with a virtual primary care doctor that you were texting with on a regular basis? I mean, what a concept. Like if I became a primary care doctor and I had 2,000 patients, you know, I would treat it like, you know, I don't want to say these are my customers, but they are, right? It's like, so how do I, it's kind of like concierge medicine in a way, but like, how do I be proactive and like check in on them and just like ask them a simple question? You know, how are you doing? I mean, I just talked to a physician today who's pretty important, you know, works at a huge company managing, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in this health plan, if you will. And, you know, they said that instead of patients coming in and her just talking, it was about like her asking the patients, you know, what can I do for you today? Why are you here? What do you want to achieve? And sometimes patients would be like, well, what are you talking about? Like, you're the doctor, just tell me what I need to do. Give me the medication, right? But that's using more of like a motivational interviewing approach, because at the end of the day, everybody's a patient. Everybody's on a healthcare journey. And so some people might be trying to lose weight. Other people might be working on their blood pressure. Other people might have mental health issues. And so I think it's more about that rather than just having like, oh, great, I just, you know, fell off my bike and I don't know if I need to go to the emergency room, or, oh, I need another prescription for Tamiflu, or, you know, what these silly telemedicine companies are. I mean, I don't know if they're silly. They're kind of silly to me, but like, you know, it's like, great. Like I just saw an ad on TV for like erectile dysfunction or hair loss medication. It's just like, okay, yeah, like people need those things. But at the same time, we want to kind of build a service that's not that. And it's also not Uber for doctors. It's like, this is like a kind of like holistic approach to having people work with trained, compassionate medical professionals that, you know, improves their health status where they're really like enjoying their life and kind of thriving rather than just taking their medication.
Yeah. That reminds me of this fantastic idea that I heard once. It's hundreds of years ago, doctors in certain villages were only paid when people were healthy. So they were paid every month. If these 10 clients, if you will, were healthy, as soon as some of them got sick, the doctors were no longer paid. It was a completely flip of, you know, our current situation. Hey, Lawrence, you talked a lot about addressing behavioral health. Also, you talked a lot about like dealing with chronic conditions. What's exciting to me is that telehealth might be massive with monitoring discharged patients. Is that something that you, for want of a better word, daydream about, monitoring discharged patients?
No, not really, because I would like to prevent them from getting into the hospital in the first place.
but you know what I mean? Like my dad had cancer, got some stuff cut out of his kidney, and then he had to continually go back to the hospital to get monitored.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some things that physically has to go to the hospital, but I think that's a massive opportunity, but that's not something you think
about. Yeah, you know, I mean, it is. I mean, it's just in general, how do you make things more convenient? Obviously, not everybody's going to have like perfect health their whole life and never have a major condition. I mean, a huge percent of the population needs surgery at some point, right? So, I mean, I think that regardless of like what medical problem you have, being able to conveniently get healthcare that's high quality where people really care about you at your home in this like medical home model makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, right. No, it makes sense.
So do you see this being, you know, a little bit less of, I guess you see, and by this, I mean, the future of telemedicine, like where this is going, where Fruit Street is going. Do you envision it being less of, okay, I'm hurt or I'm coughing, I need to go to this app and see if I have COVID or see if I have something, and more of this ecosystem or this platform that, you know, the three of us could log into right now and potentially based on how we interact with it, you know, Lee might end up talking with a, you know, counselor or a therapist. I might end up with a respiratory doctor and you might end up with someone else. Do you see it kind of being more like that, to where it's less segmented? Like this company's the COVID telemedicine, this company's the diabetes telemedicine, and kind of having it all in one. Is that kind of where you see things going?
Kind of. I mean, it's like the foundation of it should be lifestyle medicine, where, I mean, ideally the entire US population would constantly be trying to, you know, eat more fruits and vegetables, exercise more, sleep better, reduce their stress, have better interpersonal relationships. So what that might look like in an app is you're taking pictures of your food every day, you're stepping on a wireless scale to optimize your weight, you're either tracking your exercise in an app or maybe wearing Fitbit or Apple Watch. You know, you are maybe working with a licensed counselor or therapist to kind of work on your mental health, or a coach. I think life coaching is a thing that actually can be helpful if somebody's trained in doing it correctly. It sounds like a silly, fluffy term, but I think it has a lot of value.
It is extremely fluffy. It's fluff-fest. Yeah, but life coaching.
Yeah, but it's another word for motivational interviewing. Like, everybody needs a purpose and needs to want to know where their life is going.
I can consider it like a happiness coach. Like, so if someone can tell me, hey, Lee,
positive psychology.
Stop doing these three things that you do that undermine yourself, sabotage yourself, and like, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's like psychologists that deal with like, okay, everything goes back to your childhood, blah, blah, blah. And then there's like a more of like a coach that kind of works with you. But anyway, my point is that, you know, the foundation of the US healthcare system should be things like Dr. Dean Ornish talked about: diet, exercise, sleep, stress management, high quality personal relationships, like having a life purpose. And then, you know, beyond that, it's like, yes, if you have a real medical condition, you should be able to talk to a doctor, get a prescription, get lab testing. So like, you know, maybe you're getting lab testing periodically, you know, and you are checking that your A1C is good, so you're not at risk for diabetes and your cholesterol and that kind of thing. And you can view beautiful graphs of, you know, your lab results in the platform, and then make changes to your diet and lifestyle or medication to actually hit those goals. And then I think there's this whole category of things that are like silent killers, as you will. So hypertension's the big one. You know, somebody's walking along, thinks they're fine, they have no symptoms, but guess what? They had high blood pressure and they dropped dead from a heart attack, right? And same thing with prediabetes. There's 88 million people that have prediabetes, and then one day they wake up and they realize that, oh, I had type 2 diabetes. Not to mention people that are living with type 2 diabetes that don't even know they have it, right? So I feel like there's this whole segment of people that have things like prediabetes, hypertension, fatty liver disease, obesity, where they're kind of like fine. Like, they're not going to like, you know, drop dead tomorrow, but like 20 years later they will, you know what I mean? So can it be an app where like those types of people, you know, work on their health so that like when you're a 55-year-old dad, you're not like dropping dead from a heart attack and you have three kids without a dad, you know what I mean? So, I think it's something for that, where you'd have basically a virtual care team that would help you improve your health, avoid getting sick, feel better about your life, feel more like you have more vitality and that kind of thing. So it becomes an app that you have, I call it in your, you know, your bottom four, like in your iPhone, right? You can have like those four apps you use all the time. Like, nobody opens like any of these telemedicine apps. It's like, that is the app that I use every day. You know what I mean? So like, but if it could become an app where you would use it every day, and an app essentially where people are constantly working on improving their health.
Right. Yeah. So I think there's one exception to that, pardon me, Seth. Yeah. It's the meditation apps. I think a lot of people are picking up the daily routine of going to the phone app to do meditation.
And that should be something in this app too, meditation. I mean, I think that's an example.
Yeah.
It's not medical, but I mean, it's been proven to have medical benefits.
Exactly.
So why has that not been integrated into your virtual primary care doctor suggesting that you meditate?
Right.
Instead of just saying, take a prescription.
And being able to say, by the way, like, do it in this app. Here's the program.
And then your doctor can actually see, right, like, oh, you haven't been meditating and I told you to do that, right? Like, why don't you meditate, you know, an hour, or let's say even 10 minutes a day, you know, for a month, and let's see how you're doing. Right. I mean, no doctor, except maybe the ones trained in lifestyle medicine, would ever think to do that. Well, why not? It would probably work. Right.
So Lawrence, I want to ask about failures. Telehealth companies have failed in the past. Health technological adventures have failed. Like, I'm thinking about Google Health. It was up for a couple of years and then it just died. Like, no, it just didn't get critical mass critical adoption, however one describes it. So do you have any lessons that you've learned from companies that are kind of similar to Fruit Street that have just tanked?
Yeah, I mean, Google Health was kind of a silly app in my opinion. It was just like some sort of health record. I mean, I remember you could like...
Yeah, it was medical records.
Like, you could track like how many cups of tea you drank in a day. Like, I remember doing that. I was like, no, like, you know what I mean? So, but my point is like, it's telemedicine. So it's about interacting through video conferencing with passionate, highly trained healthcare professionals, not like watching videos in an app or reading articles in an app. It's through video conferencing, like looking in your eyes with highly trained healthcare professionals who care about you, that you have an ongoing relationship with, to improve your health. And so that's what I think we need in the US healthcare system.
What are the main obstacles that telemedicine is running into that's preventing it from really being as integrated as we're describing, as, you know, that kind of primary healthcare 2.0?
We need more reimbursement. I mean, Medicare is considering paying for telemedicine at the patient's home on a permanent basis. So hopefully that continues through the pandemic.
I feel like hopefully less than 4 years, but I feel like in a handful of years, it's going to be one of the things that we look back and we wonder, like, why in the world did it take us so long to embrace telemedicine in the ways that we are? It just
hopefully in 6 months we do that. But
yeah, but I mean, and you know, I mean, it just takes a while for people to adopt things. I mean, even if millions of people jump on, there's hundreds of millions more that need to and stuff. But I think all of this is really exciting because it's clearly you're seeing progress every single day in this. And so you're kind of on the front line seeing this develop, which is awesome. And so we'll have to stay updated on how Fruit Street is doing for becoming the primary care 2.0 of telemedicine.
And the Uber of virtual care.
No, we're not doing Uber virtual care.
Nope.
That's what we said.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing more long-term relationship.
Sorry, I screwed that up.
More long-term relationship.
Edit this in post-production, please.
Nope, we're leaving it. We're leaving it in. No, it's good stuff. So thanks for sharing with us today, Lawrence. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Digital Health Entrepreneurship with Lawrence Gerard. If you haven't already, take a look at some of our other episodes and leave a review on your favorite podcasting platform. We will see you tomorrow on Digital Health Entrepreneurship.